joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So the first point here tonight, and let's ask the Lord one more time to bless this message. Father, we prayed for all those requests a while ago, but Lord, we pray one more time that you would bless the teaching of the Word of God tonight. Help us to understand it. Help it to sink down in our hearts and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point here in chapter number 2, we could say, or we could call it, Paul's tears over the church. Now, obviously, Paul, right there, he says that he had shed many tears over the church there at Corinth. Now, I think that shows how much he loved the church. Of course, Paul started the church there at Corinth. We have that. We have the record of that back in the book of Acts. I can tell you this, as a pastor, you love your people, you love your church. And I heard my father-in-law, Brother Jerry McDonald, say one time, of course, he started that ministry, Calvary Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Ministries. And let me see here. They're going to be celebrating 40 this coming year, 2017. That ministry will celebrate their 40th anniversary. Now, my brother-in-law pastors there now. And how old is he? 55? He's 54. He'll be 55. So his dad started that ministry when he was 15. And she was 17, and she was there when he started it. And then, of course, she went to Bible college. We got married. And so then God took us a different direction. But he's been there for 40 years. But her daddy said one time to me when he came to our work in Mexico and preached for us down there, he said, you know, we had another missionary family down there working with us, and we had, you know, workers in the church. But he said, nobody will have a heart for this ministry like you do, because you started it and you're the one that's the pastor of it. So whether you started it or not, as the pastor, you're going to have a burden for the people of your church. And others will have burdens too, but others don't know all the, you know, the things that a pastor knows, because people tell pastors things. And so Paul, and I thank God for you folks, every one of you, we pray for you, we love you. And, you know, man, we want the best for you. I know sometimes people get upset with pastors because pastors, you know, I don't try to run everybody's homes. I'm not a, you know, you're the dad of your home. You're the leader of your home. And I wouldn't go to anybody's house, knock on your door and say, you know, hey, you're doing it all wrong. I'm not going to do that. I think that's me stepping out of my bounds. But as a pastor, I definitely, you know, would want to give advice, give direction. And you know this, sometimes unasked for advice is not appreciated. And so, you know, it's not always appreciated. And I don't go around trying to stick my nose in everybody's business. But as a pastor, you're burdened about things. And sometimes God might, you know, might give you something to that could be a help to somebody. And so what I do is I just pray that if that is the occasion, if that is, you know, how God's going to do that, I pray that God will give me a open door to be able to say something to somebody to help them. I don't know everything. I don't. God does. And I know God will show His leaders, I mean, you see it all through the Bible, things to help. See, a pastor is an under-shepherd. He is the shepherd. A pastor is an under-shepherd. And the shepherd wants the best for the sheep. And so the shepherd sometime will give instructions or advice or something, encouragement to the under-shepherd to pass on to the sheep so that they can be blessed. You know, as a pastor, and even as a Christian, and I'm sure you're this way too, I want everybody in Ridgecrest to know how good God is. I mean, I want everybody in this town to understand they don't have to get drunk this New Year's Eve. They could know the Lord Jesus Christ and God could give them the best New Year celebration they've ever had in their life. I want everybody to know that. And I'm sure you do too. I want families to know, you know, we're fixing to have a grandchild. We're excited about that. But I remember my two boys. We did a lot of things with our boys. I mean, we really did. I took them boys hunting. We went and had snowball fights in the mountains. And I mean, I took them on missions trips with me. I took one of them to California to pick up. This is when we was in Juarez. I took Jared with me. We rode a bus out here to California. A church had given us a van to use for our ministry. He and I went back. We got all kind of good stories about that. That van broke down in Phoenix, and we called a pastor, and he put us up in his church. We didn't even know the guy, and he gave us money for our trip. And it was a van that, you know, is an old van, and it had one of those covers on the engines, you know, and it didn't fit right, and so there was hot air coming out, and Jared, he was tired. It was a long trip, and he was barefooted, and he touched his foot down there on that one of those metal things and burnt his foot bad. And so, now we laugh about that now, but we weren't laughing about it then. But you know what? He remembers that trip. Then I took Wesley with me on the trip in that van. We went from El Paso way down to the other side, the other end of Texas, which is about 800 miles down there. And we picked up about 9,000 Bibles and John and Romans and different things and brought them back. And I took him on that trip. We did all kind of things together. So when I see people in stores and I see dads with kids, I'm thinking, man, I hope that guy knows the Lord, because those little kids need a daddy that knows the Lord. Yeah. And so that's just a burden that God gives you. Well, you can see Paul's burden over the church that he started and over these people that were one to Christ all through this chapter. Paul tells them there that it was out of much affliction and anguish of heart that he had written unto them with many tears. I bet you every pastor that you'd ever talk to, if they really expressed their heart, would tell you that they have shed tears over people in their church. Not, I mean, just because of the burdens they're facing and because they want God to bless them, and they want people to get right with God, and some people in churches are not. And so, you know, you want people just to, you want the best for people. That's what you want, God's best. And so sometimes that, boy, it just becomes a burden, and it really moves your heart. So in these verses here, let's go over to chapter 11, okay? Chapter number 11. And look at verse 23. We're not there yet, but we need to read this. Verse number 23. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." That means being beaten with stripes. "In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." That means often. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That is 195 lashes. That's 39 times 5. That's from the Jews. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." Remember, he was stoned and I think died. God raised him up. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." That means one of those times he was out there floating on a piece of wood for a whole day and a whole night. "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And then look at this. "Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." So not only did he go through all of those things, the biggest burden that he carried was the care of all the churches that he had started. He started churches all over. And there were churches started as a result of his ministry that he personally didn't start. The 7 churches in Asia. Now, he pastored the church there at Ephesus. But some of those churches around there, they Paul didn't actually start them personally, but they were started as a direct result of Paul's ministry. So Paul was burdened for all those churches and all of those church members. And so as a true shepherd, Paul had these infant churches on his heart and on his shoulders. That reminds me of the high priest of Israel back in Exodus chapter number 28. If you'll look over there. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 12. Aaron was the high priest. And in Exodus 28:12, very interesting verse here. Exodus 28 and verse 12. And thou shalt put the two stones. There were two stones. Well, look at verse 11. With the work of. Let me see here. We got to go back here. Verse number 9. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. You can imagine that. Onyx, rock, and then they were to be engraved and placed in an ouch. That would be, we're not talking about an owie, you know, for the kids, but that would be what it would be set in. Okay, and that was of gold, so it'd be beautiful. Verse 12, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And just as the high priest carried the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders, Paul carried the burden of all of those churches upon his shoulders. So, I think we see that tears in the Bible are associated with the burden that leaders carry for the people. You remember the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. The Lord shed tears. Paul ministered with tears. The Psalms 126, 5 and 6 states that there will be no harvest apart from tears. Those are very important verses there. Let me read them to you. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. Says this, Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So Paul had a burden, and that burden led to Paul weeping over the church at Corinth. Paul did not want to go back there. Remember, he had promised two visits. Okay, those didn't work out. But Paul did not want to go back on those visits as a stern father who had started the church, and those were his spiritual children. He wanted to go back as a loving friend. He didn't want to have to go back there and rebuke them. He wanted to go back there and enjoy fellowship with them. But remember, they had a lot of problems. Remember that? So, the church should have brought joy to his heart, not sorrow. If he made them sorry, now that doesn't mean, you know, sorry in character. It just makes them sorry because of the way that they were living. In other words, if they were sorrowful, then how on his visit to them, how could they cheer him up? Because they would be very sorrowful, right? And that wasn't how it was supposed to be. Paul was supposed to go back. They were supposed to be happy to see him. And their visit, boy, it would be a blessing to both people. But if they weren't right with God, and they weren't doing what Paul told them that they ought to do to correct all the problems in the church, then it wasn't going to be a wonderful visit. And Paul just didn't want to go back like that. He wanted to make sure and give them time to make matters right in the church. Then he would be able to visit them, and then their fellowship would be sweet fellowship. I'm sure you probably had visits where you've went with people before, and you know, you knew it was going to be, there was going to be confrontation, maybe even family, and you just really weren't looking forward to it. And when you got there, whatever, maybe business meeting, maybe a visit with your boss or family or whatever. It just wasn't good. And when you left, it just, you know, there wasn't any joyful anything about it. But when things are right, and you can look forward to that, then isn't that a much more joyful experience? And that's exactly how it was with Paul in the church. Now, when he wrote to them, he had written with tears. He wept over the letter. Verse number 4 says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears." Now, we're not sure if he was referring to 1 Corinthians or if he was referring to that other letter that he had already written them. We're not sure about that. We know that he had already written them two letters for sure. So we're not sure which one of those. And let me ask you a question. Is it possible that he had even written more letters? Sure it is. It's possible. Everything that these people did is not recorded in the Bible. So Paul could have had more correspondence than that. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:9, just to see this once again. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 says, now this is 1 Corinthians, okay? So in here he says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." So he is making mention of a letter that he already had written before he wrote this letter that we call 1 Corinthians. So we know he had written at least one before he wrote 1 Corinthians. And it's a good possibility, because he loved the church so much, he obviously could have written more than that. It's just not referenced. So in chapter number 1, Paul's theme was abundant comfort. Okay, he talked about comfort all through there. Here it is abundant love. Remember, Paul's the one that in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 says this, "Charity never faileth." Love never faileth. No matter what was going on in the church at Corinth, Paul loved those people. He did. He loved them. Where there is love, there's always the burden to see others enjoy the very best. And God honored Paul's tears and worked in the church so that they took Paul's advice about how to deal with the moral problems in the church. Okay? That leads us to verses 5 through 11. We don't really have time to do all of this tonight, but or this part here, but we'll start. We'll have to go back to 1 Corinthians 5 to understand what Paul's talking about in the next several verses. So turn back to 1 Corinthians 5, if you would. 1 Corinthians 5. He says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." So obviously someone in the church was having a physical relationship with either his mother or his stepmother. One of those two. And it was common knowledge in the church. It wasn't like, you know, wasn't like it was hidden. I mean, people knew about it. And instead of the church dealing with it and being brokenhearted about it, now I'm sure there were people that were not for that in the church, but the church as a whole, he says, "And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together," that means when the church comes together, "and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." You know what Paul is saying? Just a little bit of leaven will cause the whole thing. It's like, you ever heard this? Just one rotten apple will cause the whole bunch to go bad. So Paul is saying, purge out the leaven. That's that yeast, okay? And what he's talking about here is this person. He said, when you come together, purge out the old leaven. In other words, when you come together, then as a church, you exercise church, what we call church discipline, and you dismiss that church member from the church. Get him out of the church. Because if you don't, his immorality is going to affect others in the church. If, say, you know, again, Corinth was a wicked city. Here is a member of the church living in open immorality, and the church is not even doing anything about it. You know what that's going to send a signal? What about new converts coming in that have been involved in that? Well, instead of knowing that, hey, that's wrong and that's sin. Well, brother so-and-so, man, look at him. And the church, they're puffed up about it. That's going to send the wrong signal, and it's going to cause others to fall in the same sin. So Paul said, you got to take care of it. As Barney Fife would say, you got to nip it in the bud. Right? I mean, you got to stop it now. And so these next verses are what Paul is talking. These next verses, Paul is referring to what happened after the church did what he said. Now, let me just tell you this, and then we're going to be out of time here, and we'll pick up next week. But here's what happened. Obviously, the church did what Paul said. The goal of church discipline, and church discipline is not a fun thing. I know pastors, I know one pastor in particular, that it was like, it was like he really enjoyed church discipline, and he really enjoyed kicking people out of the church. This guy was a missionary. And I'd talk to him, and I'd say, how you been doing, brother? Well, we had to exercise church discipline again, so about half the church members gone. And then they'd build their church back up a little bit, and then a year, maybe 2 years later, how's it going? Had to exercise church discipline again, about half church is gone. That's all. I mean, that just happened over and over again. Church discipline is not a thing that, you know, you want to do. That's for sure. And it's not a real pretty thing. And Paul knew that that was the only way to get this done. The goal, and by the way, our Constitution spells out exactly how that, if we ever needed to exercise church discipline, exactly how we would do that. And it's good to have that in there. But the Apostle Paul told them what they needed to do, and they did it. The goal of church discipline is so that the offender, the goal is that he would understand that's sin, and he's disobeying God. And so the goal is for the offender to repent of that sin and to get his relationship right with God and get his relationship right with the church. That's the goal. Now, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes they get mad and leave, and sometimes they leave before church discipline is ever even exercised. That's the wrong attitude. Now, obviously, this man, whoever it was, took that admonition right, and he repented of his sin, and he got things right with God, made things right with the church, and it seems as if some in the church now, not all of them, but it seems that there were possibly some, because of what Paul wrote, that maybe even after he got right with God, they just wanted to go ahead and give him the boot anyway. They didn't want to really give him another chance. Have you ever heard this before? I've heard it before, especially about independent Baptists. This is a sad testimony, but I've heard, and I've been in ministry a long time, I've heard that independent Baptists are good at shooting their own wounded. That's kind of a saying amongst pastors. In other words, when somebody is down, when somebody has committed sin, and instead of people in the church praying for them and trying to lift them out of that and help them, they just, you know, I mean, they do everything they can to run them off. We're not trying to run people off. We're trying to run them in. Amen? So Paul, here's what Paul's going to do, and we'll talk about this next week. But Paul is going to admonish them, now that he's repented of his sins, forgive him. And forget about what he did. and help the man to get back to where he ought to be spiritually and grow in the Lord. And I think that's a very, very important lesson for us. And we'll look at this next week, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to get together tonight again. And we thank you that you have just showed us the heart of the Apostle Paul. And we pray, Lord, that we'd learn a lot from this study. I pray, God, that we've learned some things tonight. We've been encouraged about some things. And I pray, God, that we'll just determine that we're going to live a life that is pleasing to you. And we pray, God, that you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If God did speak to your heart tonight, then I invite you to do business with the Lord now. Please dismiss us with thy blessings and bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you.